So if you're here this morning for Xander's opening, it kind of goes along to a degree with what we're going to be sharing here today. Xander talked about people making commitments, but then the lack of fulfilling those commitments. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slow keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." So I was considering, as I had communion meditation, I was just thinking about how I wanted to approach this. And so I just had this weird thought of, why don't we go to the last passage of Scripture in the first book of the Old Testament, and the last book of the Old Testament, Genesis and Malachi, at least as we have it recorded. And then do the same for the New Testament as well. Look at the last passage of Scripture in Matthew, last passage in Revelation. And I noticed this fantastic pattern in each one of these. See, at the end of Genesis, it says this. It said in Genesis chapter 50, starting in verse 24, "Then Joseph said to his brothers, 'I'm about to die, but God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land, to the land that he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.' And Joseph made the Israelites swear an oath and said, 'God will surely come to your aid, then you must carry my bones out of this place.' So Joseph died at the age of 110. We see a promise. But then in Exodus, chapter 13, verse 17 through 19, it says, "When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went out of Egypt ready for battle. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the Israelites swear an oath. He had said, 'God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place.'" Promise fulfilled. If you go to Malachi, chapter 4. Again, the last couple verses. Malachi records this prophecy that was spoken to him that he shared with the Israelites. "See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else he will come and strike the land with total destruction." A promise. And if you read the gospel account according to Mark, in the very first chapter, in the first five verses, the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, Son of God, as it was written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare the way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord and make his path straight.'" And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Promise fulfilled. In Matthew, the 28th chapter, we see a promise, starting verse 18. "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all things I have commanded you, and I will be with you always to the end of the age.'" Promise. And then we see Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all of whom the Lord will call to him." With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Promise being fulfilled. See, what's interesting, and it kind of even ties in with what Xander was talking about, we see a promise at the end of each one of these books, and then we see the fulfillment. Genesis ends with a promise, and we see that promise fulfilled. We see Malachi ends with a promise, and we see that promise fulfilled. We see Matthew ends with a promise, and we see the fulfilling of that promise starting in Acts, the second chapter. See, whether it's at the beginning, or whether it's at the end, or whether it even be in the middle, a third of the way through, a fourth of the way through, a fifth, 7/8 of the way, we see throughout the scripture plethoras of promises and the fulfillment of those promises. So let's look at the last words we see in Revelation 22, verse 20, 21. We see a promise. He who testifies to these things says, "Yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. We're here because we're partaking of a promise that was mentioned in the writing of John, the revelation that he received from the Savior. He ends with the promise that Jesus is coming soon. And we know this promise will be fulfilled. Why? Well, in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verse 26, Paul reminds the Christians at Corinth, reminds us, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." As we end our year and we think about the beginning of a new year, let us be reminded we're here because of a promise that was made to us. And that promise will be fulfilled. It might not be fulfilled next year or the year after, but it will be fulfilled soon. And why? Because as 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, some count slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance." One day, a final promise fulfilled. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your blessing. We ask for your mercy and grace to be upon us, Lord God, as we consider the promise of your scriptures. Lord God, we see where this beginning of the end, promises and promises fulfilled. So let us, Lord God, reflect on the fact that we're here because of a promise made to us. And we're fulfilling that because we know that one day your Son will return to take us, the church, his bride, to be with him. So, Lord God, let us keep hold of the promise and let us do our part in fulfilling it. Father God, we praise you and we thank you. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.